righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful day you've given us, the wonderful day you've made, such a just a day that we can be together, worship you as a body of Christ. We pray that you'll be with the voice interpreter. We pray that you will give the right words to me, that my signs are clear for the deaf people. Also that we've come to hear your word. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Really enjoyed yesterday. We had a pre-Father's Day get-together at the Bourdain household, and we had a good time of just delicious food, great fellowship. But as I was looking, I always get these alerts on my phone. It says heat advisory for our area. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, is this going to stop us? It says it's going to be the 90s and humid. That's what the advisory was about. And I thought that's kind of normal for the South where I grew up in Georgia and lower Alabama. And I know it gets sticky. I mean, we don't like that part, but the heat doesn't bother me. Everybody else I know here really was not looking forward to that. I was hoping we move here, like everybody said, 70 to 80s in the summer, and I thought, man, where does this come from? But that's pretty much in the north, that's kind of, or in the south, that's what we're kind of used to. And I'll be going to visit my father in probably late July. I'm not looking forward to the heat wave there, starting at 100 degrees, plus they set their air conditioning at 78 in the house. And so I'm not looking forward to that. We do like 71 in ours, but going to mom and dad's house, we're going to honor them. So as I was looking over this message for today, I came up with 5 points as far as about the Father, about our Father. It said fathers, point number one, the Father is a source. A Father is a source of life. The source of life. Of course, you and I, we live here, we live, we breathe because we had parents. You know, we're alive. Why? How were we born? Without a father, you would not have children. So the Father is a source of life, giving us life. My parents who had me, I definitely thank them for giving me life. And of course, there are several verses that apply in the gospel to a father's love for his children. John chapter 14, verse 6, if you want to look there. And we'll start with that. It says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. So when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you have the promise of eternal life. And that's only through Jesus Christ. No other way can that be done. Now, physically, let's look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. We're physically born. All right, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So physical birth, we have that for the moment we were born. Also in chapter 2, verse 7. And it says here, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God gave breath. He gave life to Adam. And I don't have to go into the whole story. I'm sure you know all about this. But God knew there was something missing, and he made Eve a helpmeet to be with him. First father, first mother, and the rest is history, as they say. And I don't know the backgrounds of each person here, but I know growing up, I had very good parents, grew up in a Christian home, but I did not get saved until after I was done with college. I grew up, and as far as understanding salvation, I didn't quite understand it. But later, getting saved after understanding. But I know my mom fed me, she clothed me, she provided my needs. I thank my parents for that, you know, for providing those things for me. There's places in America that, you know, they give clothes and they give food and then the parents take off. whether to work or other things, but they just don't invest the time. But as far as Father's Day, some people wonder when it was instituted. His last name is Smart. I think he's at Sonora. That's why. Smart. And the last name was Dodds. Sonora Smart Dodds. She is from Spokane, Washington. And she was sitting there one time listening to a message during Mother's Day. And she got to thinking. She said, I know we have Mother's Day, but why don't we have a Father's Day? So she did the things necessary and got it together that they finally would recognize this special day for fathers. And during this message, and she's sitting there, and that was in 1910. She was sitting there. It was in the month of June. And she thought about this on Mother's Day. It was recognized in 1908, but it did not become public law until 1914. So those 6 years had gone by till that finally was instituted. And so sitting there one day, she said, why don't we have a Father's Day? So that lady, Sonora, her father's birthday was June 5th. And so he thought, we got to do something to honor him. And so what she did was the town mayor, they got all these men together and they finally did it on the third Sunday, was the first day they recognized that lady's father. And it did not become, they did not try to make it to become a law until Calvin Coolidge was president. And when he heard this, he said, yes, we do need to honor fathers, but it still wasn't put into law. And that was carried on until 1966 when Lyndon B. Johnson was president. He said, oh, we definitely need to do it. So third Sunday of every year in June until 1972, President Nixon finally signed it into law. So that's a long history of how Father's Day came to be. But it came to Mrs. Dodds finally wanting to respect her, you know, honor her dad. So Sonora's father was a Civil War veteran. So he had been in the battles and he survived. He was married, had five children, but his wife passed away in childbirth. And so the father took care of all five children. And I can't imagine without a wife or and their mother being there to help. I can't even not even imagine. But he was a godly man. He had his children in church. And then in 1910, Sonora thought about it. She's like, we need to have a day to honor him. So this was, I think she was in her late 50s when she finally made this suggestion that we need to do this. So looking back at what her father had done, she realized he needed to be honored. So that's how that happened. So the fathers give life. The second point is the father offers a shared relationship. Okay, point number two. When I look back at my father, we communicated pretty well. He was not a fluent signer. I know how hearing people, you know, they just talk with their kids, but my parents used a form of sign language called English, and it's different than ASL, and my father, though, was still willing to learn to communicate with me at, you know, just good enough a level. I mean, showed me that he cared for me. There's many deaf children today that you ask today, does your dad sign, and many of them don't. One time we were at the deaf school where my parents dropped me off like they do here on Sundays, and I would watch some of the other students, the other kids arriving, their mother and father would just wave, and I'm thinking, I wonder why they don't communicate with their kids. I don't ever see them say, hey, have a good week or whatever. But my parents, when they would drop me off, they'd say, son, we love you, and study hard this week. Stay out of trouble, those kind of things. You know, I'm like, okay, love you. Take off, going into the dorm. I had the kids said, you are so lucky. Your parents can sign. And I was like, stop for a moment. I thought that was common. But I didn't realize that the large majority of kids that are deaf, their parents, especially dads, do not sign. That relationship is so important for children. So we'd live at the deaf school for about 8 months and come home about once a month. You say, that's not a great relationship. I know, but that is kind of the normal when it comes to relationship with the kid at the deaf school. Now they go home every week, but my time was about once a month. But anyways, I was able to communicate good enough with my mom and dad, and I didn't have a deep conversation and of, you know, great understanding of everything that was going on in the world, but we talked about sports, we talked about the Bible, we talked about things in general, just advice on, you know, growing food. My dad's has a really big garden, and he's a really good gardener. And so he would give me tidbits about gardening. You know, those, it was communication. It was enough for, it was enjoyable. But let's look in John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. Says here in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Now, when I look at this verse, it's a picture of a relationship. Why did Jesus come and die on the cross for us? Because he wanted a relationship with us. Those that are not saved, it's the Bible says we're still, our Father is still the devil. Not until we get saved are we actually to become a child of God. It's called you're reconciled to him. So you're connected with him. And so in that, we have a relationship with him. So we pray. Through prayer, we have an opportunity to commune with God. And it becomes a personal relationship. It's not just a routine, bless this food, Lord, amen. It's a, Lord, you know, whatever it is, I praise your name for this. Lord, I want to pray for this person over here, their need. And here's our needs. And that is a personal relationship, is when you can bring those requests and those praises to him. That says here in the Bible, the sheep know my voice. He has a relationship with these sheep. It's showing that God is the good shepherd and wants to have a relationship with us. There are some fathers, maybe some of you say, well, my father's not around, or he's not here, or he's passed away. We have, just like I have, a foster son, and now I just got a second one. But they're both deaf, and I'm able to communicate with them. Now I have another one, DeJour Wallace, who's now with us. But I've got three boys living in the home. Well, you know Bruce, he's not a boy, and he's not my son, but he's also living with us. So we have a really good relationship, but I realized these guys have a lot of things in common. I call it a black thing sometimes, but we relate just fine, you know. Luckily, we have sign language to communicate. There are many deaf people out there who have deaf families to communicate with. If you have a deaf parents with deaf children, a lot of time those families are very close, very tight. And don't misunderstand me. You say, oh, it sounds like you have a difficult relationship with your dad. No, it was fine, you know. I was able to communicate, but now we live 11 hours away. It makes it even more difficult. But we text and we call. But my brothers and sisters, they call my parents pretty often to communicate. And I feel like that's kind of an advantage they have. And I'm not jealous of it. I just understand that's just how it is sometimes. But I pray that you all have a good relationship with your earthly father. Because we don't have, you know, life is short. You don't have much time to relate with them. So, back to the relationship part. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. Chapter 6, verse 6, says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when you sit in your house, or when you walk by the way, when you lie down, or when you rise up. Verse 8. You shall bind them as the sign of on your hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates. Here in this verse right here, it's emphasizing the father's relationship with the children and the way that they're to teach, whether they're sitting or walking or at bedtime or whatever time it is, to take every opportunity to tell them how good God is. That relationship there is emphasized. Well, I've taught my son the importance of life as far as learning to be independent and to learn responsibility and to do house chores and things like that, how to manage his money wisely, how to save on our electricity bills, cost of living, I explained about that, and those kind of things that I'm able to teach him. And then until he finally leaves the house and is on his own, then he'll understand independence and responsibility. But I've tried to teach him with love. I'm not like, well, it's all you. If you don't do it, it's all your fault. You know, I know sometimes kids are like, yeah, whatever, mom and dad, until they finally get out. And they're like, oh, he was right. But it's my responsibility to teach with love those things. It says we need to teach our children wherever we're at. Because when you get to heaven, you're going to be accountable to God and what you've done for him and how you raised your children. Point number three. A father provides. And I'm sure you are well aware, but they're the bring the bread and butter. I don't know how you say it in English. They bring home the bacon, whatever it is. Put food on the table. A father is responsible to provide for the family. And I know things are changing these days. Sometimes mom and dad are both working because the cost of everything has started to increase. Or I know there's, you know, some mothers are able to be housewives and the father makes enough that they can make it. But just the responsibility of a father is to provide. Now, in thinking about that, why is that so important? Well, we need to think about what the role of the father is. The children look to the dad and realize, and it doesn't say, men, you need to sit there and do nothing. Men, you need to sit there and don't work. No. Who have to blame for hard work? I always blame Adam. I tell the boys, I said, you don't like all this? I said, we need to get in a time machine, meet Adam and say, don't sin, don't do it, don't eat of the fruit, and we will live longer. But unfortunately, God knew. Adam made a choice, and Adam and Eve made a choice as well. Both sinned, God punished, and said, Adam, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. And I think, thanks a lot, Adam. You know, but we should, once we realize this is our responsibility, we need to work with all of our heart. So God's told Adam, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. And so he's given man an internal motivation to work. Again, I am responsible before God. If I were to say, you know what, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to do anything. Because if we don't work, we're going to be hungry. We're going to suffer. You're going to hurt your family. There's so many things that happen. But if Adam and Eve had not sinned, think about it. It'd be perfect, wouldn't it? Would we be working? No, it wouldn't be free food everywhere probably, but we get to pet the lions and, hey, I'm eating fruit off the tree all day. I think about those things. I always tease my boys. I'm like, you want to get in a time machine? And they're like, Dad, you know we can't do that. It's impossible. But only way it's possible is through God. Say, hey, God, can I travel? Can you tell him for me? But God's already made that decision. No. Okay. Look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is our provider. He provides all of our needs. He never fails us. Never. Last year was a kind of a hard year for us. I worked in part-time last year. My wife, of course, worked, but we obeyed God, of course, in our tithe, giving faithfully in our faith promise, giving to our missionaries. And time went on, and I realized God met every one of our needs. He provided every step of the way. It was amazing to see how God met our needs in the certain ways that he met our needs. He satisfied all of our needs, everything that we need, and we met everything we needed, and we made it through. And now I have a job lined up for this fall that's full-time again. But God is good, and I just want you to test God. Test his power and test his provision, because he will come through. It says, through his glory and his riches in Christ Jesus. You can't even put it into words. Just amazing how he provides for our needs. One word, wow. In general, you think about America. I mean, it's today. Today is pretty sad. Looking at research, talking about food waste. It said in America, the average American wastes 25% of the food that they're put on their plates. And I think about that. I think there's so many hungry children. It says 1 in 5 or 1 in 4 are facing starvation. I saw a statistic on that. And I thought, Americans already waste a fourth of everything that gets put on their plate. They said that we could feed the whole country of Canada with just our waste. Unfortunately, Canada wastes about the same amount. And with that, we could feed the whole continent of Africa. And I think about that. I think, what does the Bible say about God providing for our needs? But we are responsible to provide for our families. 1 in 5 children facing starvation. And I'm thinking, with a lack of father or a lack of mother in the home, I don't know what's going on, but they're responsible to provide for their families, to put food on the table. Now, point four, number four. A father encourages. I'm sure most of you, you know, you get excited when your father says, "Son, I'm proud of you," especially the children. "I am so proud of you," whether it's the son or whether it's the daughter. Or maybe they, you know, give some kind of positive words of encouragement. Kids love to hear that, don't they? And of course, when I hear that from my dad, I remember when I was at the deaf school, we had a football team, and I loved football. And my dad lived about an hour and a half from the school. And dad would come to my football games. I mean, just every week he would be there. I say, I probably played in 3 years on the varsity, on the varsity team. I lettered probably about 30 games, just say 10 a year. My dad went to all of them except one. And that was against Louisiana School for the Deaf. That was 10 hours away. He wasn't able to make it. But all the other ones he went to, North Carolina School for the Deaf, Tennessee School for the Deaf, he made an effort to be at all those games to show support for me. And I thought that was an encouragement alone, that he was just there for me. Even, he didn't have to say a word, but I knew that he was there. Sometimes I would have an off night in football or even in track. Dad would always say, "Hey, you did good. You did a wonderful job." And those words were encouraging to me, into my life, and it's stuck with me ever since. You parents, especially fathers, the kids need to hear that. They need to hear those words of encouragement. They need to hear that support coming from you. Let's look in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. All right, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's a word of encouragement to Joshua, because you think about this time, what was happening. He said, "You want me to lead the Jewish people?" Moses had passed away, and the mantle was passed on to Joshua. And he saw what was going on with the people just not treating Moses right. And he said, I can't do it, Lord. And the Lord's here saying, "You can do it, and I'm going to be with you." He gained confidence because of what God said. And he led Joshua to lead the Jews through his words of encouragement. Let's also look in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And this may sound like it has a little bit of a negative connotation, but let's read this verse. It says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights." You say, "Well, that sounds like punishment. Chastening? This is a way of encouraging a son. Fathers show love to their children by disciplining them when they get in trouble. Some of you say, "Well, you know, today the world is saying, if you paddle your kids, that's abuse." But I want to tell those people, when you spank your kids, you do it the right way. You do it in private. You show love. Just like if they get in trouble, you spank them, you sit them down and say, "Hey, this is why you're in trouble." The kids say, "Hey, it's because I did this, I did that." "Okay, you did that, and here's a verse. And I want to share with you, because I love you, I have to discipline you." The children will understand because of this that you love them. if you have to correct them. Sometimes I lecture at my son, AJ. I'm like, hey, I need you to go wash the dishes. Or I want you to go out there and mow. And I'm doing that. It's because I love him. If I didn't love him, or DeJour, my new foster son, I would just let them sit in there and do whatever they want. And if they mess up in life, it's on them. But God has shown me so much love that I want to show them love by giving those opportunities to do things around the house, do things outside, and to be an encouragement. And sometimes Avery, my son AJ, sometimes I had to punish him growing up, but I had to show him by showing love. But if I didn't and just let him go, then that would not be showing love. I know nobody likes discipline, but it says chastening is sometimes we need it, right? Sometimes when we disobey, whether a son or a daughter were to get disciplined, it's because of something they've done wrong. That word chasten, it's the way that God punishes us as Christians. It's not punishment. That's more of a negative connotation, but this chastening is showing love even though you must discipline. It's teaching them in the midst of it. Whether you have a son or a daughter, you've got, 18 years with them? You're investing in their lives until they're off to high school or off to college or get married. Then you're, kind of free. But that time with your children is really, really short. I look at Jonathan and Amy, and they have 3 kids. And I watched all 3 of them grow up. I saw Mia when she was born. I've known her since she was just a little baby. And then Mason when he was born. I remember that. And Michael. And I think now how tall they are. I'm like, Mia's already 13. Mason's, 11? And Michael's 8? I thought, man, where did the time go? I remember way back when I saw you as a baby. And I thought, boy, imagine their family time. That's precious. If you've got young ones in your house, that time is precious. You may not think much of it, but it really is a short time. My wife and I, Susan, we've been married for, 18 years? It feels like, 7 or 8, but it's just, wow. And then AJ came along, and we adopted him, and now he's a grown man, and thinking, man, how fast time has gone. Investing in children and our children's lives are so crucial. Number 5. Father gives security and protection. Before I make some comments about that, I wanted to explain. We just did a love and respect conference. We watched the videos and did the workbooks. One session was talking about if a man were to come in or somebody would come in to rob your house, a husband, a wife, and 3 children says, I have to kill one of you. Who's it going to be? Who's going to be first? Everybody in the conference said, the father, of course. You know, why would they not kill a child or your wife? You know, the father was expected to be the one that dies because the father is a protector and the one that gives security to the family. You know, if the father were to die, the wife can still care for the children. Think about that kind of role, being willing to die for your family to provide the protection. Psalm chapter 103, verse 13. It says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Showing protection, showing that we care for our children, showing that we are there for them. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29 through 31. All right, it says, then I said unto you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. Verse 30, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the ways that you went until you came to this place. So strong protection for family. Being a deaf person, sometimes it could be a negative thing, But, you know, you all have doorbells. We have to, you know, the doorbells are for deaf people. That means nothing. My wife has to say, hey, somebody's at the door. I mean, I could open the door and somebody could be there standing there with a gun. I would never know it. But I feel like Jacksonville's a pretty safe place. I know something just happened in South Jacksonville with a murder, a son murdering his own mother. What a sad thing that just happened. Was the first one since 1977, I believe, is what I read in South Jacksonville. But it is our responsibility as fathers to protect our families. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "The fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge." Fearing the Lord, a father that fears the Lord and teaches his children, he shows that they can have refuge in him. Looking at some statistics about this, it says that mothers and fathers that attend church, 55% of their children also attend church. It says that children will be in there, in church, 55% of the time. And without a mother, or like just a single mother, it says the percentage goes all the way down to 15% of those children attend church. What a big difference that a father has in the role of children. I didn't realize what a big impact that had. Of course, mothers have a great influence as well. But when a father's there and brings his family to church, it really impacts the children. So the respect, love and respect marriage conference that we did, I learned that men and women look at things different. It says women are pink, men are blue, and that we have pink goggles and men have blue goggles. The mother easily loves while the husband wants respect. Mother wants love and the husband wants respect. It says that most foreign countries, it says this is nothing new to them. They understand. It's like, finally, America's catching on here. Let's proof in the last verse here. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Oh, got typed up fast. I didn't think it was going to be up there. It says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This verse is included in those Ten Commandments. The first four are related to the honoring of the Lord. The next ones, the fifth one, is it starts out with parents. Honor your mother and father that you may live long. So showing honor to our mothers or our fathers who work to provide food, a roof over our head, says that we may live long. When I visited my parents in Alabama, I respect the rules of their house. When I'm under their roof, that's what I do. For example, I told you their house usually set at about 78. I'd like to secretly turn it down to about 71, but I realize when I get there, I'm at their house, and while I'm laying there in bed, I start sweating. But I realize if you move, you sweat even more, so you don't move. So under that roof, we respect their rules. And if you do, it says, the Bible says what? You're going to live long on the earth. Five gifts from the Father. I pray that you and your children make sure that you tell your fathers Happy Father's Day today. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for working. You say, but I don't have a father. My father left us, or he's not in my life anymore. Something's happened, a crisis happened, or my dad's mean. Well, guess what? It says we need to honor our parents, honor our fathers. We can still say, Lord, to our fathers, I respect you, I honor you. And that's going to put it, big impact on the father. You say, but he's still not going to change. Guess what? God knows that. God has put that down in heaven. And God's going to say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Thank you for respecting your father, even when he did not deserve it. God will take care of the father. That's on him. You do your thing, and God will do his. Tell your father you love him. And sometimes it's hard even to say, I love you, to your own father. I understand that. But if you haven't sent a card, or you haven't contacted them, or you've not said anything, do that today. Say, hey, Happy Father's Day. Even if you're like, oh, that low down. Oh, say, hey, to my dad, I love you. Let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you today for your word that you've given us, that you've given to me first, and as I give to given to everyone else. Lord, thank you for this day of honoring fathers. Lord, first of all, we want to honor you. Thank you for your word this morning that you've given to us. Thank you for the book of Joshua where it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, help us to put that into action. Thank you for us being able to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.